The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
The big thing this week is the annual St. Patrick's Day engagements in Washington, with the focus once again on the Oval Office visit by Micheál Martin. And that's a visit, as Micheál discovered last year, that can be a bit tricky.
Do you know you have Rosie O'Donnell? Do you know who she is? I don't know. Do you know who she is? You're better off not knowing.
So Rosie O'Donnell being brought up to Micheál Martin, Rosie O'Donnell having moved to live in Ireland during the Trump presidency, and Micheál Martin a bit bewildered by that reference. So how do you navigate this kind of situation? Well, we're joined by former Taoiseach Bertie O'Hearn. Bertie, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks very much, Pat.
Now, would you be a bit apprehensive going to the White House in the current situation?
I think a bit more than I used to be when I was there with Bill Clinton or George Bush, because it's a very important occasion, that should be said. And I think the whole St. Patrick's Day in the United States is hugely important for all kinds of reasons, and no more, I suppose, than business and culture and our historic connections. The problem, normally the agenda is followed. There's a fairly fixed agenda, issues that Ireland want to raise, issues that various Secretary of State, and normally a number of them turn up. Madeleine Albright, who's been always fairly forceful in, you know, her list of things, and a number of other Secretary of State, but the President would follow normally the agreed line. The problem with President Trump is that that doesn't apply, and we've seen time and time again where he can go off in any tangent or any way, and I suppose you just have to roll with the punches. And I think that's the reason that it's a fair bit tougher on Micheál than it normally would be.
And how do you prepare for a set piece? I mean, there is an entourage going with the Taoiseach, and they've been to various places like Philadelphia and so on before they hit the nation's capital. How do you prepare for that? Do you kind of have scenario planning?
I think normally what happens if, you know, you would have put forward in the last few weeks items that you wanted to raise, and that would be a fairly, you know, fixed thing. And you get your say, you're allowed to raise whatever issues you want. The American side, usually through the president, but not only the president, but I imagine this on this kind of occasion would just be the president. And then you can raise your issues, and you would be briefed on what you want to say. A lot of the issues might be IDA, they could be taxation agreements, there'd be, you know, issues from Department of Finance, Department of Industry, Foreign Affairs, obviously coordinating all of these issues. So you'd have your notes, you would have memorized them fairly well, and it would be fairly, you know, it's an hour and a half maybe. It's a fairly good meeting, and you just want to make sure you get your points across. The trouble with Trump, and we've seen it even with the German Chancellor, I think the poor man was there for 42 or 43 minutes before he got to speak at all. So it's very hard to plan for that.
And he had to listen to Trump talking about the election being stolen and all the rest of it, you know. And I'm wondering at what point, and maybe it'll never come, do serious European leaders have to say to Trump, that's not true, Mr. President? You know, is there any point in standing up to him? You'd be fearful of doing it, but maybe there comes a time when you have to tell him he's talking nonsense.
Well, I think there are issues. I mean, I must say, this week, he never disappoints, I suppose, because he jumps all over the place. But the decision this week of easing the sanctions on Russia, just to make sure that America is protected, even though he said they'd all the oil that they needed. And that just flies so much in the face of what European leaders would say. I don't know if that issue will come up in any way, but you certainly would be tempted to say if during the Ukraine session, because I've no doubt that Micheál Martin will raise the Ukraine. But I mean, that's such a disappointment, and it's such a kick to Ukraine that you're going to pour huge money into the war machine of Russia, which flies in the face of everything European leaders have been saying. But to be honest, Patty doesn't care a damn. You know, that's the way he is, and he if you raise it, he could blow up, and But I do think Micheál will raise the Ukraine issues, and if he raises that particular one, I don't know.
We played a clip earlier in the programme of Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, in the middle of an interview, at the beginning of an interview with Sky News, being hauled out of the meeting, the interview, and then returning 2 hours later looking very shook. And Scott Bessent has shown himself to be, in so many ways, a moral coward, not sticking to his own principles and his own knowledge. But at the same time, he would have an understanding of the global oil markets. I mean, he is a Wall Street man. He would have an understanding of that. And maybe he was shaken by what Trump was doing on Carg Island and what impact this would inevitably have on global oil prices. Yes?
Yeah, I think if you look at the way the week has, you know, turned out on oil prices, Monday the markets went mad. Then Trump came out and he did this half nine Monday interview where he said the war would be over in a few days. The markets came back down again. Then on Wednesday, he said no, he was going to intensify the attacks, and he was praising the fact it's now up to 6,000. Then the markets go mad again, go up 70% for gas. I mean, how do you call it? I mean, I think the poor Secretary of State, if someone is trying to advise him, you don't know what he's going to say next, and that is the problem. I mean, in 1 week, one week of the year, he has moved his position about four times, and last night it looks as if the war is going to intensify for the week ahead. So,
And when we saw the videos of burning ships in the Straits of Hormuz, you know that this is going to do a lot of damage to the world oil price. But not alone that. I mean, they get a lot of helium from this area. Helium is required for the manufacture of chips. There was a piece I saw last night on one of the American news programs interviewing American farmers. The cost of their fertilizer has gone up by 77% very quickly since the beginning of the war. Now, that has an impact directly on, I suppose, the grocery bills of American consumers.
Yeah, I mean, they say that inflation, if this continued for any length of time, and I suppose we're talking about a few weeks, it could drive inflation up to 1.5 to 2%. Now, that will certainly have a big effect in America and everywhere else. But the one issue, if you were to look back over the Trump years, the one thing he looks at and does take account of is the markets, probably his own experience, his own investments that have gone up and down like a yo-yo over the decades. But he does take account of that. And I don't see him, you know, continuing on at the level of the war. He's now spent $15 billion in 2 weeks since it started, this day 2 weeks ago. I can't see him, you know, just continuing if the markets are fluctuating as they are. He might do it for a while, but I think he'd bring it to a certain stage.
Now, the headline on the Irish Independent is Taoiseach will invite Trump to Ireland despite the conflict in Iran. I presume that's a set piece already organised by the diplomats, that this invitation will be extended because the Irish Open is on in Doonbeg. And whether or not that kind of thing will soften Trump's approach to this meeting, no matter what the Taoiseach says, he wants to keep everything nice and happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's inevitable. That invitation is probably well set up already. But I think the difficulty is, if the president has another interview that day or another press conference, that's all right. Watching some of these things closely and on CNN and, you know, Fox and the other stations, it's when he's only doing one event on the day. He uses that event to talk about all his other issues. That's the problem, I think, with the Taoiseach. That if that's his day's piece, he could go anywhere. But I imagine they have worked hard between Department of Foreign Affairs and the White House.
But you could imagine Trump
to keep retiring issues.
Trump could turn to Micheál Martin and say, "What do you think of men and women's sports?" You know, you never know where the ambush is going to come from.
No, he could say anything, and if he had a phone call beforehand, with the Germans, the meeting with the Germans was meant to be an hour, and the poor man didn't get to speak for 45 minutes. I mean, that just shows you where it can go. So it is difficult, but I think the Taoiseach would be trying to keep it on Irish issues, Irish agenda. the success of Irish business, the amount of investment we're now putting into the United States, the effect that's having on the economy in the United States, I think that's the line he'll be taking. Yeah. And he will raise some European issues, and he'll raise yeah. Ukraine, I've no doubt about that.
Now, before I let you go, I got to talk to you about your fellow negotiator for the Good Friday Agreement, Tony Blair, and him joining the Board of Peace. I mean, when you look at the shower of reprobates he is sharing that board with, it's hard to understand why he got himself involved.
Yeah, I agree with that, Pat, I'm afraid. I'm not going to try and gild the lily on that one. I'm glad I wasn't asked, but it's not that I'd be considered, but I can't see the benefit of that. I just don't know where it'll go. They had their first meeting. What kind of an agenda are they going to follow? What kind of strategy have they got? And I don't see that. And the difficulty is with President Trump that, as of now, he just plays the tune along with Netanyahu, and that tune won't do much to help the Gaza, as I see it. And I mean, even where do we go now in the Gulf? I think even if the Gulf War was to end tomorrow, I think the whole relationships in the area have been badly affected. Yeah. He's not going to get regimes.
If Tony Blair called you tomorrow, what would you tell him about his role there? Would you tell him to get out of it as quick as he could?
I'd honestly say to him, why did you ever get into that? And if I was him, I'd get out of it. I can't see it going anywhere. He was very keen on it, I have to tell you, Pat. I wasn't talking to him directly, but I was talking to some of his people. He wanted to be part of this. He thinks it has a future. I have to say, I don't see it.
All right, Bertie Hearn, former Taoiseach, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.